who were equipping us and arming us to do battle against the ants in our house. We are very grateful for that, and we will soon be victorious in the Lord. But let's pray. God, this theme of grace is very evident, Lord, this morning. We thank you for putting that on Ed's heart to just give him words, Lord, for inspiring him with that song, Lord, to speak life in that way, God, and we thank you for it. So, Lord, may we show grace, not just receive it, but may we show it and live it as a way of reflecting you. And so, Lord, take this message now and help us to digest and soak in what you have for us, and may we be changed by your Spirit, God, and what you reveal and what you say. In your name, Jesus, amen. So we've been looking at foundations of our new identity in Christ, in a sense. That's kind of how it developed. How believers in Jesus are those who've been delivered out of darkness and now called to live and walk as children of light. And God's word is clear that his people, his church, are light bearers for him, luminaries, stars, who reflect the life of Christ, who reflect the grace of Christ, who shine his light and make known his love in the world. So it's another cool picture that I like reflecting on as well, like light bearer, you know, just seeing yourself as a light bearer for Christ. Like, it's a cool image. And to walk in sons and daughters of light means putting the truth into practice, which is another passage we looked at maybe a couple weeks ago from 1 John. What does that mean? Applying his word, living it out in the day by day with our minds being renewed. And we begin to experience a new freedom. That's what happens. We begin to experience a new freedom from the lies that once oppressed us. And little by little, more and more, we evidence a life that's being changed and transformed by Jesus. So this is God's heart for his people as the children of light. He's after heart change. He's after ones who would take seriously this call to be bearers of his light. So as we surrender to his will, he leads us away from the empty paths of sin and darkness that we once traveled for years, right? Those well-worn paths that we understand just led us nowhere. And they're empty. They're empty. They left us dry. They left us wanting when we lived only to please ourselves, right? So many of us can relate with that in different ways. So instead of walking in the true reality of Christ, we chose differently. We chose differently. But thank God for his grace, right? Thank God that he pursued us. He didn't leave us in the dark. You know, he still put his stamp and his mark on us and said, he called us out and said, yes, you. Right now you don't see it, but you are a light bearer. It will come about. You're a light bearer for me. You know, so he's created us to walk in this reality of who we are, created to be children of light, who in view of his mercy now find fulfillment in living to please God, bearing fruit of Christ's life and righteousness in us. And this is a process, what we talked about last week, sanctification. It's a big Bible word, right? Being set apart for a specific purpose, set apart by God and for God alone, through a work of his Spirit. So let's look into that a little bit more, this word sanctification and the connection to the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 says this, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." Sometimes it's hard to read a passage and not get stuck on a word, because I share with you, I often get stuck on a word. Well, guess which word I'm stuck on right now? Beloved. Isn't it cool how God just calls us beloved? Do you know what that means? That means much loved, or very much loved, adored by God. So again, see yourself that way. You know, when you personalize God's word to you, you know, and this is a complete side, by the way, but it's stuff like that when I'm reading God's word that just jumps out at me. You know, like, I'm beloved by God. You're beloved by God. Like, how awesome, you know? So anyway, side note. So looking at this connection again with the Holy Spirit and sanctification, another passage, 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Peter writes this to those who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. This is deep, heavy theology, actually. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Deep, heavy passage in a lot of ways. A little side note here, by the way, for those who study doctrine and the doctrine of the Trinity, this is a great evidence, a great example of a passage that includes the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all in one passage. There's others like that, but this is one that's often used to make a strong case for the personhood of God as Father, Son, and Spirit. That's just how he chose to reveal himself. That's who he is. But anyway, we see the connection again with the role of the Spirit. But another interesting connection is this, is that along with seeing the role of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in salvation, for example, we also see the role of the believer. If you look closely, it says having faith in the truth, that's our part, to obey Jesus Christ, putting our faith in him. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So it's always prefaced with belief. We have to receive it, right? We have to believe it. So this is a one-time work of God who lovingly pursued us with his kindness. And he is the one who justifies. He is the one who cleanses us from our sin through the cross of Jesus and through repentance and through faith in Christ our Savior. So many of us remember when we humbled ourselves, when we hit that point of surrender before God, when we wrestled with him for so long and we just tried to go our own way, and yet God broke us down, you know? He broke us down with his love. He broke us down with his grace. He broke us down with his grace like rain. And we humbled ourselves before God. We were saved, rescued, redeemed, forgiven by his grace. And in that moment, we were transferred, the scripture says. We were transferred into the kingdom of Christ, set apart for a future glory that awaits. And praise God, this is not our forever home, by the way. You know, that we of all people have this great hope. And we'll be talking a lot about that in the next week or two, right? With the resurrection of the Lord. So there's a future hope. There's a future salvation, right, that we know is promised to us. Praise God for that. And yet, as you see a tendency of mine in sharing with you, I'm often looking at the here and now. Well, how does it apply to the here and now? So in the here and now, God's word also instructs us very clearly and repeatedly to live out that salvation, to live out that that new creation in Christ. How? By throwing off the old, putting on the new. And Jesus is calling us to live in the light as he himself is in the light, to live in the true identity of who we are as a new creation, to grow in the truth with a new hunger and a thirst for him that we never had before. So this is his call to us, his people, his church, his redeemed ones. This is so important on many levels because, like I already alluded to, many of us, including myself, we've tried to get there on our own, only to fail, only to fall far short of what pleases God, right? Of what honors him. And so we know how real that is. We know full well that deep within us, there's nothing good. You know, we have this perception of good, that I could do a good deed, I could do something nice, and yet still just kind of keep my heart far from him. You know, we try and appease God with our good. But really, within us, there is no good. Apart from the Lord Jesus, there is no good within us. And we know what it's like too, you know, to those who can really relate with this. We know what it's like to live with this heavy weight of inescapable pain and sorrow and like this unending searching and hopelessness that gripped us for so long. You know, some of you understand and have been there. When we rejected the truth, when we rejected the truth and the love and the light of God, and we lived only to please ourselves, well, the outcome was those things. The outcome was that despair. It was that pain. It was that loss of joy and real purpose, right? So you get this. You understand. All those things are wrapped up in the person of God, in his very nature. These are attributes of God that he imparts to us in the new birth. You know, he infuses that within us by his Spirit. And to whatever extent we've discovered it or haven't discovered it, well, that's why we're talking about what we're talking about. This ongoing process of being set apart to him, set apart by his word, by his truth that changes us and renews us. So although we chose to live independently of him, although we preferred to stay in darkness with our guilt and our shame, yet now by his grace in Christ, we've been given a new identity, a new name. This is why it's always worth going back to the truth of God, because this is how we learn who we are, knowing who we are in Jesus. And I know I've shared this passage before, Ephesians 5:8. It just has not left since maybe the 2 weeks ago we mentioned it, but it speaks so well into this, all right? So just check it out. Take passages like this. I encourage you. Soak them in. Digest them, because they're so rich with your identity. You know, they're so rich with speaking over you the grace and mercy of God. So in this sense, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. It's as plain as day from God's eyes. It's as plain as day from God's eyes. It's settled. You are light in the Lord. You're not that person anymore. Right? Walk. So then, walk. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Again, it's just an awesome passage that really it challenges us and encourages us at the same time. So this has been our theme for the last few weeks, I suppose, looking at what it means to walk as children of light, to discover what is pleasing to him, and how do we practice the truth? How do we practice the truth? Last time we talked about the word walk, right? It's an action verb, right? It's obvious. It's an action verb. It implies a progression of some kind, a movement forward. And this is what God is after. He's after steady growth, not stagnant growth. Stagnant meaning sluggish, right? Just kind of picture like a slug, you know? Hey, one step in front of the other, don't get me wrong. You're taking a step. Praise God for that step, no matter how small. Like, I'll always affirm and encourage you in that one step, no matter how baby it seems. You keep stepping, right? But God is after steady growth, not stagnant growth. He doesn't want us to stop, okay? So in this sense, this is what we mean by an ongoing process of sanctification. It's experiential, right? We are far beyond a head knowledge now, right? As we've continued to say, this is the experiential life of Christ in us through a work of the Holy Spirit. God is completing a work in us that he began. So we experience that work. And our part, as we say and look at, is to trust in his word, to continually yield to his Spirit and what he reveals. This is why we need to know the truth and to live by it. And remember Jesus' prayer in John 17:17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And how we notice there's this connection. Apparently, Jesus is making a connection. I mean, in such a few verses, there's the word sanctify, there's the word truth, there's the word, and your. So it all comes from God. So basically he's saying that our sanctification, this ongoing work, is so interconnected with the truth and the word of God. That's the simple paraphrase of this. So Jesus knows that we need his word, right? To stand strong in him. We need his word to keep stepping, to keep going on that path of steady growth. So his word is what sanctifies. His word is what purifies. His word is what cleanses us. So this is the role of his word, right? He doesn't want us to stay in darkness. He wants the light. He wants the light to reveal to us a new path. So in a practical way, why is this so crucial? Because God's word is our foundation. Number one, God's word is our foundation. His word is our standard, or the plumb line, right? When I was going through this, I thought of a plumb line, and if you know me, again, I'm a transparent fellow. I'm not so versed in the carpentry field. I do a lot of dabbling on my own in some things. I usually mess it up, but I didn't have that example growing up. It was a foreign idea, just some of those carpentry things. But praise the Lord for my father-in-law, who really did come alongside me when I had my business. This is a complete side, by the way, so hopefully I don't go too far off track here. When I had my company, God gave me a vision, actually, for a business, which I did for 7 years. I converted the basement of our home in New York, our apartment, into an office. And, like, I had no idea what to do. I saw, like, this dungeon of a basement. He came in, and he's like, oh, like, we could frame out here, we could do studs and things, and I'm hearing all this language. I never even knew what he was talking about. So praise God for the ways that, maybe for you too, God has a way of sending people alongside you at times to kind of fill a void or something that maybe you didn't have, like whether an earthly dad or whatever. But in this case, Beth's dad was kind of come alongside me early on in our marriage. So he introduced me to a plumb line and a chalk line and showed me what that whole thing does. So for some reason, I had that image relating to God's word as our standard. I just had that image of a plumb line. And I looked up the definition of plumb line. And interestingly enough, it says it's a vertical reference point. A vertical reference point. I was like, huh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool because I think that if this is just a little angle here, that there's some good application here with God's word being our vertical reference point. You know what I mean? Being our plumb line, our standard, that kind of is our standard of measure that kind of, you know, helps us see when our thinking is off, right? Helps us see when maybe there's some sin in our life and we're a little disjointed, right? Or we're a little disoriented. It was just a cool picture that to see God's word as our plumb line and how we need his word to realign us, to realign our measure, you know, to realign us vertically, you know, to him. You know, so again, there's... You know, my message, your message, you know, I know this is the message of God. Like, we always need to be people who love this word. You know, I mean, it seems deja vu sometimes because I'm often doing this. It's just so true. It's just so true. We got to be in his word to know it. And we got to be in his word to let his light come out of it, right? His living and active word, a whole other message. But it's alive. His word is alive and it becomes active as we feed on it, as we soak it in. Right? And it changes us. It transforms us. So anyway, God's word is our standard. God's word is our plumb line. And he uses the truth that's found in his word. His word is truth, Jesus says. His truth is what liberates. It illuminates our darkness. It teaches us how to live. Right? B-I-B-L-E. I learned that a long time ago. Basic instructions before leaving earth. So in light of that, Psalm 119. Verse 130, which, by the way, Psalm 119, beautiful, awesome, wonderful, can't say enough about it, Psalm. Psalm 119 is where we quoted maybe a couple weeks ago, thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto our path. Well, in that same Psalm, there's such a great upholding of God's word in this role of bringing light to us. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So his word gives light, instruction. It gives us understanding for how to live. And by looking to his word, the Holy Spirit gives us insight. His Holy Spirit is who reveals the word to us. Because maybe you can relate with this too. There's times when, like, I could open the Bible and read a passage or two, and it would go completely over my head. Like, I have no insight. I'd have no benefit from a particular passage. I'm just like, yeah, that's strange, confusing. Like, I guess that's why, you know, God's word, the Bible is so old, and I don't really see how it's relevant, and all these things, and you have all these, you know, these questions. But then, little by little, more and more, as the Lord helps us on this steady growth in him, as we're feeding on his word, the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the word to us, gives us insight, helps us understand the truth, you know, and it becomes alive in a whole new way. So praise God for that. Praise God for that. You know, it's not dead stone, as Jesus rebuked the religious leaders, right? He talked about them just, you know, oh, whatever.
Sorry.
Well, I've been told communion is a shorter service, so, you know, I'm trying to honor the little theme here, knowing we could easily go off on some other directions. But, yeah. So looking at God's Word, His Holy Spirit gives us insight. And if we've been redeemed in Christ, the main thing is this, to again recognize that God wants to continue His sanctifying work in us. He wants to continue His sanctifying work in us. So in this regard, let's look at another aspect, another dimension, let's just say, another aspect of what this means, this sanctifying work. One moment. First Corinthians 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. So check it out. You know, we could use these big words, right? Sanctification, sanctify. But now, God's word, you know, the light out of this word, bringing truth, is dumbing it down, making things even more clear, sometimes uncomfortably clear, actually often uncomfortably clear, right? If any of us dare go to some of the places where God wants to make us uncomfortably uncomfortable so that it could become clear that He wants to do more in us. So did you catch it? Here again is another key identity truth. In this passage, it speaks to the reality of what took place. What took place when we experienced new birth in Christ, when we were transferred into the kingdom of light, when God put His Spirit in us. And there's an obvious recognition now that we are no longer our own. We are no longer our own. Fundamentally, according to God's view of things, the truth, if you are in Christ, you are no longer your own. We're His. We're His. Right? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Own these verses. I know I say this a lot, but repetition could be a good thing, and I know it's been a good thing for me because God just hammers this stuff in and hammers His word in. So it's a recognition, you know, the identity truths. We acknowledge that we are no longer our own. We've been purchased with the costly blood of our Savior. So then God is commanding us, instructing us to honor him in these bodies that He's purchased for us, you know? And this includes viewing ourselves, our whole person, our whole being, as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just want to sanctify our mind or renew our mind. It translates into the physical, by the way, you know? And yeah, we still have our ailments. We still feel the effects of sin in a fallen world. Like, no doubt, like those things are not going to go away. But still, there's a reality that God is saying that even in our physical body, God wants to sanctify us. God wants to set us apart for Him because we belong to Him. So these are just some foundations to look at. And the more we accept and understand this truth, the more fruit we'll start to see that the Holy Spirit will bear outside of us as He sanctifies and sets us apart for His purpose and calling. And it's a challenging word, actually. This is a very challenging word. It has so much application. I trust the Holy Spirit will operate in His teaching role to speak to you as He speaks to me what these passages mean for you, you know, in a very personal way. You know, what are the things that we wrestle with, that we struggle with, where we know we need to allow the Lord to set apart a little more of us in that particular area. So when we keep this in a right perspective, then there's a greater willingness to do our part, to throw off and let go of anything that's hindering our walk and our worship of God. So I thought of Romans 12:1, which will always just boomerang back through in a lot of these studies. Many of you know this. Therefore, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. It's deep, right? It's deep. So there's an offering, in a sense. God is saying, like, our very lives are an offering now unto Him, right? Not perfect, right? We're not there. But God is saying, we're to present ourselves as an offering to Him, as ones alive from the dead. Other passages say, we present ourselves to God as those alive from the dead. Maybe that'll be our theme for Easter. So being a temple of the Holy Spirit, how do we present our bodies to God? There's lots of ways, right? We could go on a whole thing. I just want to look at one example, because this is, you know, just a little teaser in a lot of ways. Let's just look at one example, and some of these are uncomfortable words from our Lord. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Himself gives some interesting insight, actually. He gives us a clue how we maintain physical, emotional, and spiritual purity. So check it out. Matthew 6, 22 to 23, He says this, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" So again, you read the Gospels, you come across a passage like this, you just got to take a step back and chew on it a bit. You know, what's the Spirit saying here? But first, just note the contrast again, this whole light and darkness theme, right? It's all over God's Word, by the way. Now as I've been preparing this message, and really started in 1 John, and then just kind of kept going into some of these other places, but there's this theme of light and darkness, light being contrasted with darkness, the old and the new, like all over God's Word. So that's clearly what's jumping out here. But if we take this to heart, and we consider how our eyes, right, what we see, are often a gateway into which the enemy can work, right, to bait us, right? And I'm not going to even go there, because we have gone there, and we can go there, and we will, I'm sure. But you know what I'm talking about. We are bombarded with a baiting. You know, there's a baiting. You know, it could be whatever. It could be a whole avenue of things, right? And every one purpose of those things, by the way, is to take our eyes off Christ. Right? We can dumb it down, keep it very simple. So whatever it might be, it's to take our eyes off being filled and satisfied in Christ alone. So the enemy tries to do that. So anyway, the things that appeal to our eyes, you know, they're in the purity of God. You know, if you went back to Genesis and the whole before the fall, and you think, like, wow, everything created is good, right? And that's always true. And yet, there's something happened, right? Like, there's like this tainting that took place. And so now, you know, certain things that used to be pure, and God wants to stay pure, now become a consumable item, right? Or a means to just get what we want. So the things that enter our eyes, you know, we have this temptation that we wrestle with in different ways. So the eyes are often a gateway into our heart. It's a way that culture, the enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil, whatever, works to tempt us to justify the things that we think we can handle, the things that seem harmless, when in reality, they have the potential for great darkness that leads to sin. You know? So be careful. That's all. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You come across a passage like this, you're like, "Lord, give me ears to hear. What are you saying?" It's like, all right, check your eyes. Check your heart, check your eyes. You know? So as we mentioned last week, this methodology that in the spiritual realm, the way the enemy works it, you know, Satan is described as one who schemes. Someone who schemes is very crafty. Someone who deceives is not always so obvious. It does, like, he doesn't like put up a piece of paper and put this image on a commercial and underneath it say, "Yeah, you keep wanting this, and it's going to lead you further away in your heart." Like, no, it's not so obvious. It's not so obvious. It's subtle. It's subtle. It's a little chipping away. It's a little tearing down at the conviction that you first had when things were really black and white in Christ, but then somehow over time, because of the messages that get in through the eyes, through the ears, there's like it becomes gray. Things that were clear now become a little fuzzy and gray. You know what I mean? Laws are being passed in that sense, right? And it's a big question for the church, for the people of God. What do we do about these things? What do we do about these things? Because everywhere we go, it's being condoned. It's being supported. Like, we're moving, in a sense, as the scripture foretold, by the way, and that's not this message, towards the increase of lawlessness, right? And what happens? What does God's word say? That happens. The love of most will grow cold, right? Because we are inundated with this wild, wild west of a culture, right? Where it's just this love of lawlessness. Like, do what thou wilt. You know, that's the message of society, right? So, anyway, be careful. God wants us to guard our eyes, to be careful with the things that we see, to at least recognize that, yeah, it's not okay to really to be fully absorbed and engrossed into certain things that just eat away at our soul. You know what I'm saying? So, again, Jesus is saying the eye is the lamp of the body. So I'm here trying to be faithful with this message because this is what he's saying. If our eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. He's trying to keep us walking faithfully as light bearers. Light bearers. It's the darkness that will make us sluggish and get us on that stagnant growth. You know what I mean? So God, you know, it's just God's exhortation to us. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be on guard and to be at work for him with the time that he's given us. So this is the essence of his heart cry for his church. So it happens subtly, right? Until suddenly we realize maybe it is something we can't handle, right? And then we do got to talk to someone. We got to reach out. And then we do have, that's part of walking in the light as he is in the light, right? Confessing our sin to one another, letting it out with discernment, you know, and speaking to someone about it so that we can be encouraged and accountable to hold true to God's word. So when our focus is completely off, our spiritual eyesight is compromised, basically. Our eyesight is compromised, and it negatively affects us. So if there's something we're looking at that's gripping our heart, right? Whatever we might be lusting after, it doesn't have to be just in a sexual way. We could lust after many things. You know, the lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. It could be security. Whatever it is, just know that it's not of the Lord, right? And it's a tactic the enemy is using to try and keep you from walking and living steadily as his light bearer, growing in him. So God's word is warning us here to be careful, right? The toddler song, the Sunday school song, careful little eyes what you see, for the Father up above is looking down with love. Be careful little eyes what you see, right? If you've had a parent, a mom, or grandparent plant that in you, praise God for that. That's actually one thing I had remember my grandmother singing over me when I was really young. Isn't that cool? Don't ever negate your role as a grandmother, mom, or dad, you know, to our kids. His word just speaks into us, and he draws it out in the right time. So Jesus is saying, when our eyes adjust to the darkness, our whole body becomes affected, basically. And when we begin to lose sight of God's purpose for us, that's when we become powerless. This power of Christ that he promises us to walk and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's just not there. It's just not there. We just have self-strength, right? We just have self-strength because it's easy to put on a mask. It's easy to make it like we're okay and we're holding strong. But really, we know that inside we're powerless because something's going on that got a little too inside. So with all of that, to contrast, at the same time, Jesus is also telling us in that passage that if what comes through our eyes is good, pure, is of the truth, if it's honorable, this will produce a greater light inside of us. And our body, he says in that passage, I love that phrase, our body will be full of light, full of light. And it's the light, his light, that he wants to shine out of us. So not to hold it in, right? Another Sunday school song, right? Don't hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine, right? Don't hide it under a bushel. Well, that's the purpose for the church, for the people of God, to let it out. So in closing, I think, Last week, Brother Jerry shared a passage with me that was just so on point with the theme of kind of where we've been. It really complements this, so I just wanted to share it with you. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Again, you soak in His Word. Read His Word. Soak it in. Love His Word here. Listen to His heart cry for us. Reflect on this. Ever been up early for a sunrise? Two times in my life I have. I'm not a morning person. But the times that I have, which were actually for our Easter sunrise service on Long Beach Island, because, you know, that's kind of where God was bringing us from. We were out over there. We went to a couple sunrise services. Very beautiful, by the way. So significant, so symbolic of the resurrection of our Lord. Anyway, just picture the when the dark of night was steadily being overcome by the bright light of day. Right? So just picture that image, right? This steady light coming up like the sunrise. Well, consider that's how Jesus wants us to be. Right? According to His Word. The path of the righteous. So we're in Christ. We are now clothed in His righteousness. So no matter what, if you're in Christ, you're marked out already on the path of righteousness, right? So He's already, that's part of our calling too. That's part of our identity too, that we are on the path of righteousness. So on that path, He's saying, we're like the light of dawn. He wants us to shine brighter and brighter. And this is, and that again, it's a process. It's a, just the imagery there. It's shining brighter and brighter. It's not just on, off. It's shining brighter and brighter, like a growing light of Christ inside of us. So when we chew on that, we realize this is what God is talking about in sanctification, continually setting us apart from the things, from the darkness, and to the light. So that you and I, as people of God, as sons, as daughters of light, we are shining brighter and brighter for Him until the darkness is completely consumed. Believe it's possible. Believe it's possible. Not perfect? No. But God can consume your darkness. God's light, His Word, can consume your greatest darkness and bring a freedom that you've never experienced. Please always believe that. Everything He said is true. This is His promise to us. So as a segue into communion, let's remember that we wouldn't have this light of Christ inside of us. We wouldn't have His very presence, the very presence of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to come alongside us if it wasn't for the cross that He bore, right? For our salvation, for our forgiveness. If those serving communion would come up now. Let's remember the Lord's costly death that He paid for us, right? His very blood that He gave, His life that He gave for ours. So communion, as we know, right? The Lord said, we do this in remembrance of Him. It's for those who believe. If you're in Christ, even our sharing in communion is a symbol of our true identity, right? That the Lord Himself invites us to His table to eat with Him, right? So if you guys would pass it out right now, appreciate it. It's a remembrance of Christ's willing sacrifice for us, when He gave His life as a ransom. And He instructs us to do this regularly so that we never forget right? That we never forget. That we always remember his great love. God's word says it's also a time for personal examination, right? So what that means is it's a time to like confess sin, evaluate, ask the Lord, search my heart, O God, and see if there's any hurtful way in me. You know, what's inside, you know, that's hindering. You know, so communion is a time to remember where to keep short accounts before God, to confess our sin before him and not let it linger, not let it fester. So this is a time to do that. So I encourage you to close your eyes. You know, like everything with God's word, make it very personal because he loves us so much, so very much. You are beloved of God. You are adored by God, so much so that we now remember how much we are adored by him in looking at the cross he bore for us. So yeah, take this time, lift up a prayer, lift up a confession if you want. Do so personally, do so privately. Just make this time personal between you and God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Heavenly Father, the cornerstone of our faith is coming. Easter Sunday, the resurrection. It is our great strength, Lord, to speak of it to others. Help us to be more outspoken to others who need to know about Christ. We need to know your plan of salvation. Help us to broadcast it far and wide and seize every opportunity to speak of the resurrection and our faith in Christ.
Yes, God.
And our future goes along with it. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Father God, thank you for your message today. I receive it in my heart.
Thank you, God.
For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. ministry now. Does anyone have a passage on their heart? What? Anyone have a scripture? Praise God that you are rich in Him, even without the coins, right? We're rich in His grace, rich in His mercy, rich in His love. Thank you. Anyone else? Something that God put on your heart to share with us? My faithfulness.
Yeah, I'd like to share a passage from Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Pastor, there's a book that I'm reading, and it's a part of a prayer. And it is, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, to see the world as you see it. Let my heart be broken by the things that break your heart. Give me the ability to see through our culture and to lead my people into your vision instead of the world.
Amen. His vision, right? He wants to give us new vision, and that's what so much of this is about, right? This new life in Christ. Give us eyes to see as you see, with a heart of compassion for those who don't know you. So yeah, we just keeping the Lord on our heart now. His word says, in the same way, he took the cup, and after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink together. Please stand with me for the closing prayer. Jesus, we are grateful for you, Lord. Words can't express it, Lord. It's we're beyond ourselves to think how much you love us, God, and yet how much you were despised and rejected and hated by men. Lord, who just caused so much suffering and pain for you, and yet you endured it for us. So we say thank you. Help us to live worthy, Lord. Help us to live in view of that reality, in view of your mercy. God, to live and walk as children of light, to be your light bearers in this time in which we live, God, to not be on the sidelines anymore, to not be sidestepped, God, but to be vigilant and to stay forward in our motion, in our growth, in you. So Holy Spirit, help us, empower us, give us, increase our hunger and our desire for more of your truth, more of your word, and let it fester deeply and let it be watered deeply within us so that it would cause new growth, Lord, of your righteousness, of your goodness, and your truth. Bless everyone here this week, God, and guard them and protect them from the evil one, and may they live as lights for you in their spheres of influence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.